And the rest of us, we're going to talk this morning about Thanksgiving as opposed to continuing our study into the Gospel of John. And so thinking about Thanksgiving, most of you know that this week we got another baby in our family. Julie, my daughter out in Minnesota, was a week early and had Linus Joseph. So it's pretty exciting. Cute little guy, weighed 8 pounds and something. And we're excited about that. That is now 13 grandsons and 5 granddaughters. So, you know, the granddaughters are very special little girls. And speaking of grandsons, not only do we have the youngest one born this week, but we have the eldest one over here on the right side this week. Brett's here today. We're excited about that. And I don't know if you know this or not, but Brett is graduating from Pensacola in May with his degree in Bible and something. And so he almost knows everything. One more semester and he will know it all. So you might want to, you know, grab him and glean a little information off of him. You have any kind of deep theological questions that you have been wrestling with, Brett's the guy. Because once he graduates, you know, it all just, you know, vanishes. So get it now while it's hot, kind of thing. So it's good to have Brett here, and Brett's going to be back in a couple of weeks for Christmas, and we're going to line him up to preach whenever he's here for Christmas. So looking forward to that. I can't think of anything else I need to say. So let's pray, and then we'll look into the scriptures this morning. Our glorious and wonderful God, we come to you today, and just thinking about the season that the world, has set aside for Thanksgiving, and we have a day that our nation celebrates that on Thursday, and God, we are thankful to you for all the things that you so richly provide for us. And we start with having a glorious and a wonderful Savior who came to take the penalty, the burden of our sins, and give us new life in him. And we just rejoice in that. And God, if that's all you gave us, we would be thankful through eternity. But you just continue to bless above and beyond all of those things. And we just praise you, God, for the fact that you allow us to be your children, that you work in our hearts, that you are with us, you answer our prayers, you grow us in this process of sanctification, that one day, God, that you're going to come back and take us home to be with you, and just all of these things, God, that we as Christians have to be thankful for. And we just praise you and thank you for that. And this morning, God, as we think about being thankful to you and all the blessings that you bestow upon us, I pray, God, that you'd challenge our hearts fresh and new in regard to these things. And God, we want to continue to pray for our church family that's struggling with some things. We continue to pray for Steve and Nova, and they're preparing to move, but more for their physical needs that they have. And pray, God, for you to be with Brother Sandor as he recovers and gets stronger. Pray for Joe and his breathing situation, for Jim and Anita and their physical concerns that they have, and for Lynn and her cancer. And we just ask, God, for Arlene and her back situation, and Lord, all these folks that many of them have been in physical difficulties for a while, and I just pray, God, for you to just help them, give them the grace that they need in this time. And we also think, God, of people that are in our church family that are struggling with family issues or job things or money situations, and God, we just pray, Father, that you would be with them and help them too, and provide for them as only you can, and just give them what it is that they need. And we know, God, that you love us and you care for us, and I pray, God, that you would allow us to continue to be a lighthouse for the Lord Jesus Christ to all the world around us. Think of the missionaries that we support and their need for a vibrancy and excitement and enthusiasm as they preach and teach the word of God at different places, and we pray God for them. But we pray, Lord, for each one of us, that we would be the men and women and children of God that you want us to be, so that we can be that lighthouse for Jesus Christ around the area that we live in. And we pray, God, that you'd help us to be that and magnify the Lord Jesus Christ in those things. And God, we just love you and praise you. We think, Lord, about our vote that's coming up here in a little while after the service, and we ask God for guidance and direction in that your hand would be upon us. And then most of all, God, as we celebrate today by celebrating the Lord's Supper, that again we would just recognize what blessed people we are because of the personal relationship we have with the God who is alive and lives forever and works in our hearts, and we just give you glory and thanks for that in Jesus' precious name. Amen. I was went back over a bunch of Thanksgiving sermons that I have done over the years this past week, and I came across an illustration that I used to open the service the sermon about Thanksgiving a number of years ago, and I thought it would be fun, one, to see if anybody remembered it, two, is just a cute little thing about Thanksgiving. So it's seven things that we have to be thankful for. Number one is automatic dishwashers, because they make it possible to get out of the kitchen before the family comes back in for after-dinner snacks. Number two, for husbands who attack small repair jobs around the house, and they usually make them big enough to call in the professionals to fix it. For the bathtub, the one place the family allows mom some time to herself. For children who put away their things and clean up after themselves, they are such a joy you hate to see them go home to their own parents. For gardening, it's a relief to deal with dirt outside of the house for a change. For teenagers, they give parents the opportunities to learn a second language. And last of all, for smoke alarms, they let you know when the turkey is done. How many of you remember that before? Okay, great. Three or four of you. Wonderful. Great memories. You'll do well on your Medicare physical exam that you have every year. Thanksgiving, we're going to talk about. I'd like to start by a little introduction, thinking about three things in regard to what the Scripture says about Thanksgiving. So let's start in the book of Ephesians, chapter 5. Okay, and then we'll jump over to 1 Thessalonians. But three things that, and both of these things, the Apostle Paul says about Thanksgiving. And Thanksgiving is it's a wonderful day for a family to get together. But really, Thanksgiving is an attitude that we all ought to have all the time, regularly, every single day of the week, every single hour of the day. We should be thankful people. Now, in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 18, he talks about being filled with the Spirit. So he says, "And be not drunk with wine, which is in excess," but he says, "but be filled with the Spirit." Okay, and so the idea of being filled with the Spirit is the idea of, the Spirit of God taking control of our lives, us yielding ourselves to Him, and, God producing fruit in our lives, so the filling of the Spirit. And then in the next couple of verses, he talks about, what are the manifestations of being filled with the Spirit. So in verse number 19, it says, "Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord." Okay, a person who is filled with the Spirit is a person who, sings and makes melody to God and worships the Lord, not just, Sunday mornings or, Sunday nights or, just a certain time, but that song of joy and, blessing in your life all the time. You go through singing praises to God. And then the next thing he says, "giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ." Okay, now, if we had the opportunity, we would like to dissect a couple of words out of this passage of Scripture, right? Giving thanks, that's awesome. But the problem is giving thanks always. That's the challenge, you know, doing it always. So one of the things that God wants us to do is whenever we give thanks, he wants us to give thanks all the time. Always means always. And so he does, he mentions that for us. Then the next thing he says, not only always, but notice the next things. He says, for all things. Okay? So we're thinking about that, you know, giving thanks always and for all things. Now, if you could just go back and think about what happened just getting up this morning and coming to church. Okay? Think about the things that happened that you really weren't excited about and really would struggle being thankful for. Oh, no, it's raining. You know what that's going to do to my hair? I wore my hat, so that solved a problem for me. But, you know, some of you, you know, you have trouble with wearing hats. So, you know, you walk in here and say, oh, man, my hair's not going to be just, you know, just perfect the way it should be. And so, you know, it's just, oh, you know, just, rawr, 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 you know, you just get those kind of things. And that thankfulness just isn't exuding out of us. But the scripture says to do what? To be thankful for all things. Be thankful for the rain that we're having on Sunday morning that's not going to make my hair. You know, and again, the other thing you can think about if you're having hair issues is, maybe a little water from heaven would, you know, make your hair grow or, you know, be nicer or something like that too. You know, that could be always be a possibility. Let's turn over, if you would, to the book of 1 Thessalonians. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, the other thing that we struggle with, well, let me just say this. I struggle with, maybe you don't because you're probably a lot more spiritual than I do, but one of the things that I struggle with is in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 18, and notice what he says. And again, here's Paul at the end of his letter, and you know, he's sort of listing these things that we need to do. Chapter 5 and verse 18, he says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. So he's saying there that, you know, what is it? That, you know, this idea of giving thanks is God's will for you. So whenever you think about giving thanks, we recognize that, you know, this is God's plan for us. This is God's will for us. You know, this is what God wants me to do. God wants me to always be thankful. God wants me to be thankful for all things. And this is God's will, God's plan for my life. And, you know, at this point in time, we throw up our hands and we say, well, I can't do that. I struggle with that. You know, that's hard for me to do because sometimes it rains on me. And what makes it even worse is, you know, rain coming on a day that you're scheduled to go play golf. I mean, that's really something that's here. You know, you can't be thankful for something like that, can you? Everybody shake your head, say, no, you can't. That's just impossible. You know? Okay? So, you know, and we think about those things and we struggle with those things. How is it that we can be thankful for all things? How can we be thankful always? And so this morning, as we go through the scripture, I would like us to recognize how we can do that. How we can go about this. Now, obviously, it means a change in our attitude. It means a change in our thinking. It means, you know, just a different ability. And I'm saying that we can't do these things if we don't know God. Okay? You can't be thankful because if you don't know God, then you have no idea about what God is doing in your life and you think that, you know, life is, you know, just happenstance or, you know, bad luck or those kinds of things, what takes place in your life. And let's face it, all of us in this room, we have serious issues that we either have faced, we're going to face, or we're facing right now. You know, just things that, you know, it's really, really hard to be thankful for because it's just really a difficult thing. You know, people with sicknesses and people with dying and people with children with, you know, stuff going on in their lives and you know, all kinds of things we all face because we live here on this earth. And so we struggle with these things and we say, well, God, how can I be thankful for these things? How can I be thankful for all of these things? How can I be thankful for, you know, what's taking place? And so this morning I want to throw out some ideas for you about how we can do that. And again, my premise is based upon the fact that we know who God is, okay? So let's start out with God, okay? Let's think about God this morning, okay? One of the characteristics, one of the attributes of God that we all talk about is the fact that God is omnipresent. Now, what does omnipresent mean? Let's look at two verses of Scripture. You're in 1 Thessalonians, so let's go to Hebrews first. Hebrews chapter 13, one of the ideas of God's omnipresence is the fact that it says this in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5. Let your manner of life be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you had, for he says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Okay. Now, what does that mean? If God says, I am never going to leave you, that means that God is always going to be where? With you, right? If he's never going to leave you, that means he's always going to be with you. Now, whenever I say, you know, usually whenever we think about this idea of leaving somebody, you know, we think about a husband and wife relationship, and, you know, you get married and you say, well, I'm never going to, I'm never going to leave you. And so you stay faithfully married for, you know, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80, 90, 100 years. You stay married all those times, but you're not always together during that time, right? You know, guys have to go off to work, and, you know, ladies take care of the kids, or they go off to work, and you know, sometimes you go to, you know, visit somebody, you know, those kind of things. You're never together all that time, right? Because if you're together all that time, what would happen? You would leave one another, right? It just, you know, just too much of, you know, that other person. You just need a break from time to time. At least that's what my wife says. I'd never say that about her. You know, I always want to be with her, but she says, you know, sometimes I just need a break from you. And I can understand, knowing myself, that you need a break from me from time to time, right? But the idea is, you know, whenever God says, I'm never going to leave you, that means that he is right there with you all the time. That means that there's never a time when God is not with you, when God is right there. That's the idea of, you know, God's omnipresence, how it reflects on us, is that God is right there with us all the time. Every single moment of every single day, every place you go, God goes. Everything you say, God hears. Everything that you're involved in, God understands. You know, God's presence is with you right there all the time. Now, sometimes we'd like to tell him, you know, take a little break, God. I got a couple little sins here that I'd like to do, and I don't want you watching while I'm doing that. But God doesn't do that. God is right there. Okay? God is omnipresent. He's there. The other thing, turn over if you would. You're probably familiar with the verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 9, it says, not only is his presence with us, but in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19, it says, what? Know you not that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you? Okay? So it's not just the idea that the Holy Spirit or God is present with us, but it's the idea of God, the Holy Spirit. He lives inside of us. Now, that's a glorious thing to have the presence of God living in us. You know, it's a wonderful thing. And so God's presence is there all of the time. Everything that we face, everything that we're involved in, everything that takes place in our lives, God is right there because his Spirit lives inside of each one of us. So God is with us all the time. He knows everything that you are doing, everything that you are going through. Now, think about that for a second. So whenever you're having a difficult day at work and, you know, the boss comes in and he chews you out, God's right there and he listens to everything that transpires, right? Your husband, you know, he gets upset over the burnt sacrifice that you've been offered for supper. You know, and God's right there and he understands, you know, what you have gone through. And, God understands all the joyful times, but, you know, God's present. God is with you every single step of the day. God doesn't wake up in the morning and say, well, you know, did you have a good night's sleep? Because he has been there with you as you slept. You know, God's presence is right there. He knows when you got awake. He knows when you got up to go to the bathroom. He knows when you laid awake thinking and worrying about things. God knows all of those things because he's omnipresent. He's with you all the time. Okay? So the first thing we know about God is that God is with us all the time. God is omnipresent. Let's go on. Talk some more about God. Not only that, but God is also omniscient. Now, God, the idea of being omniscient is that God knows everything. A couple of verses we want to look at. Over in the Psalms 147 and verse 5. Let's turn over there for a second. And we want to see the omniscience of God, the fact that, and there are lots of verses that talk about, you know, God being all-knowing, but I just picked out two of them. Psalm 147, see if I can find it here. 147 and verse 5 says this: God is our Lord and our and of great power. His understanding is infinite. Okay, so he understands, you know, everything. He knows everything that has transpired, you know, in your life, my life, all of those things. In 1 John chapter 3 and verse 20, again, another idea of the limitless knowledge and understanding that that God knows. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 20. He says this: for if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things. Okay? So God in his omniscience, God knows everything that that is taking place. God knows everything that's going on in our lives, right? Whatever takes place in your life, my life, you know, it's not a surprise to God. Oh, I didn't know you were thinking about going on vacation down there. Well, what a surprise. You know, that's a good idea. You know, God already knows that. You know, the things that are thinking, the things that run through our minds. And that's why we can sin with our minds, because God understands. God knows the things that go through our mind, the thoughts that we have. The other thing, God knows about our words, God knows about our sins, God knows about our victories, God knows about our joys, God knows about our pain. You know, whenever something happens in our life that is hard on us and difficult for us, you know, God knows all of those things, and he understands what is taking place. He understands the pain. So not only is he present when the pain takes place, but he also understands the ramifications, what we're thinking about, how we're processing the whole thing. You know, what's going on in our minds in regard to those things. He understands all of those things. It's not a surprise to God whenever we have difficulties, and God understands whenever somebody that we love is going through something difficult. God understands the pain that we're going through in the midst of those things. He's right there. He's precious in the midst of those things, and always supplying his grace at those points in time. So we know that God knows everything. God is present with us at all times. Let's go on. God is omnipotent. His omniscience. I mean, his omnipotence. The fact that he is what? He is all powerful. Look at a couple of verses. I'll put them up there, and then you can just find them. First one is in Revelation chapter 19. It's interesting that we have one at the end of the Bible and one at the beginning of the Bible, one in Genesis, one in the book of Revelation. But in book of Revelation chapter 19 and verse 6, it says this: and I heard as it were the voice of a great multitude and the voice of many waters and like the voice of the mighty peals of thunder, shouting hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigns. Say, here we are at the end of time, and he's saying what? You know, the Lord God omnipotent, the one who is all powerful, he is the one who is reigning. And you know, as you read through the book of Revelation, you understand why they would call him omnipotent, because of the things that he does to the creation and to the nations and the judgment and all of the things that take place. As you read through the book of Revelation, you can understand why they would call him omnipotent. But go back, if you would, to the book of Genesis, in Genesis chapter 17, the Lord speaks here, talking to Abraham. It says, and when Abraham was 90 years old, the Lord appeared unto Abraham and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. And the idea of Almighty is the idea that, you know, here I am. I am the all-powerful God. I'm the God who has all strength to do everything. I am the one who is, if you were here for Sunday school this morning, Ed was talking about the different galaxies and the amount of stars that there are. And he spoke. And he put all of those things in the sky, and they hang there. I mean, we call it our sky because we look out there. But, you know, all of the things that God has created and the complexity of all of those things, because he is the Lord God Almighty, and he spoke, and those things came into existence. And so we think about the power of God and the strength of God and the might of God. And so God has power to bring judgment. God has power to forgive sins. God has power to set free anyone at any time. You know, God has that strength. God can change circumstances. God can change situations. God has that kind of power. And you can look in your life as you have walked with God for a period of time and recognize the fact that, you know, God has shown his power in your life at some way and sometimes greater than other times, but you recognize God's omnipotence. You recognize his power in your life in answering prayers, saving you. But God is the God who has the ability to change the circumstances of life. And again, you look at your life and you say, wow, my life has certainly changed, and it has changed because, one, time is going by, but two, because of the power and the strength of God. God has done things in my life. God has answered prayers. God has saved people. God has transformed me. God has, developed me in his progressive sanctification to the place where I'm a different person than I was X number of years ago because I have a relationship with this God who is all powerful. Okay. And again, if we didn't recognize that, that God was all powerful, you know, why would we pray? There'd be no need because we would be not praying to the God who has all power and all strength. So we recognize, okay, what God is like. God is omnipresent. That means that he is with us all the time. God knows everything that's going on, and God has the power and demonstrates his power in our lives. Okay? Let's go on. One of my favorite characteristics of God, not that I have ones that I don't like, but one of the ones that I really like, is the fact that God does not change. Okay? His immutability, that's a big word for saying that God does not change. Now, I know that there are some people that you would say, oh, they never change, but that's not true. Right? We all change. We all get older. We all get slower. We all get wiser. We get smarter. We all get more forgetful. You know, we change. So immutability, the ability to stay the same and never change, is really foreign to us. Because, you know, what is it? The only thing that we really see probably that doesn't change would be rocks, right? And if we would have taken a picture of the rock when we first saw it, you know, got to know it, you know, our pet rock. Remember back when we used to have pet rocks? If you had taken a picture of your pet rock at that point in time and you left your pet rock outside for, you know, the last 40, 50, 60 years, it, you know, maybe about minute change would have taken place. So rocks are sort of the things that, you know, we would say, you know, they just stay the same. But everything else that we see, it's always changing all the time. You know, it's different because of, you know, deterioration or, you know, people doing renovations. Or, you know, things going on with your life, you know, all of those kinds of things. And we go to great lengths many times to try to cover the change that is taking place. Right? Everybody shake your head. Yep, we all go to great, great lengths to try to, you know, change the thing that is taking place. My wife and I, we always joke about the fact that here is this, you know, this particular lady that she doesn't have a gray hair in her head. And she is traveling with this guy who's, you know, either doesn't have any hair at all or, you know, he's totally gray. And my wife and I always say, I wonder why that young woman would ever get hooked up with an old guy like that. And then you realize that, well, we won't go there. We'll just keep on going from here. The idea of God does not change. It's a strange thing for us to grasp. But let's look at the scripture, see what it says about God's immutability. Our favorite verse in regard to that is over in the book of James, chapter 1, and verse 17. The other thing that the pastor of my home church used to say is if the barn needs painted, go ahead and paint it. I don't know how that worked with anything, but you know that was the thing that he used to say. I don't know if he said that to his wife or not, though, or just you know, the other people that are around. Okay, here we are, James chapter 1, verse 17. He says, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, comes down from God." And he says, "The Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning." Okay? This God that we're talking about, you know, there's not even a shadow of turning. You know, he stays the same. He's always the same. He's always the God of love. He's always the God of truth. He's always, you know, complete justice. He's always righteousness. He's always mercy. He's always compassion. All of those things, he's always the same in everything. He doesn't change a bit. Look at the other verse over in the book of Malachi. Malachi chapter 3. For those of you that are Italians, that would be Malachi. Right in front of the book of Matthew, okay? Malachi chapter 3, verse 6, it says, "For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed." Okay? So what's he saying? He's saying, I don't change. You know, I'm not a God who changes. And, you know, we ought to get up every morning and shout hallelujah because God doesn't change. You know, just the idea if God changed, you know, maybe the plan of salvation would be different. Maybe the sound of sanctification would be different. Maybe God would say, you know, heaven's full, you know, nobody else is allowed, you know, all of those kind of things if God changed. But God does not change. God is immutable. There's nothing that's a change. There's nothing variable about the things of God. He doesn't change his plan. He doesn't change his promises. He doesn't change his commandments. God is the same. He has set those forth so that we can rely upon them. We can trust in him. We can stand on the promises of God. Because you realize that if God did change, then we could say, well, I wonder if God's promises are the same today as they were yesterday. Well, because God is immutable, God doesn't change. We can rely upon him. You know, we can stand on the foundation of the Word of God and say, you know, this is what God said. He is sure and he can be trusted. Okay, so God does not change. So we found out what? God is always present with us. God knows everything that's taking place. God is all powerful and God does not change. Last one that we're going to look at. Now there are many, many other characteristics or attributes that God has that we're not going to look at this morning. But the last one we're going to look at, and then I'm going to tie this back to the idea of being thankful. Okay, God is a God of love. Okay, two verses in regard to that one. The first one you already know, 1 John 4:8 says, God is love. Well, actually, let's look at that in the context because it says something interesting that goes along with that. 1 John 4:8, he says, "For he that loveth not knoweth not God, because God is love." Okay, so, you know, it's not just that it's a characteristic of God, but that's a picture of God. You know, there's several things that the Bible says about God in the scripture, and one of them is the fact that, you know, God is love. So here he is, God is light, God is love, and so here's the picture of the fact that God is love. And then Romans chapter 5 and verse 8 says that God demonstrated or God showed his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Okay, so Romans 5:8 says, you know, here's the demonstration, here's the picture of that love, that God sent his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and he died on the cross of Calvary. Why? Because he loved you, he loved me, and he knew that unless somebody paid the penalty for our sins, unless somebody was to sacrifice our sins, that we had no hope of eternal life. We had no hope of going to heaven. We have no hope of forgiveness. There was judgment that was upon us. The wrath of God was already there. But he says that God sent the Lord Jesus Christ, the perfect sacrifice, to this world so that he could die on the cross, and he died there to pay the penalty for your sins and my sins. And the Bible says that whoever believes on him, whoever puts their faith and trust in him, whoever accepts him as their Savior, has this wonderful gift of everlasting life. And what a wonderful thing that is when we see and we recognize the love that God has for us. But God didn't stop there. Whenever we think about the love of God, we need to recognize that love is, as we've mentioned many times, love is not a Hallmark movie kind of love. Love is doing what's best for the other person. Okay? So when it talks about God loving us, it's talking about God doing what's best for you and God doing what's best for me. And God demonstrating, God showing that love towards us, okay? And so that's the picture here. When we talk about God being a God of love, God does what's best for us, not necessarily what's best for himself. Because again, you go back and you think about the fact that, you know, what was the best for God? Was it the best for God for Jesus to come down to this earth to die on the cross? No, that was a tremendous sacrifice. That was a horrible thing to take place. You know, Jesus even spoke. He says, my God, why have you forsaken me? You know, just, you know, the thing that took place in the Trinity there that probably we'll never understand. Maybe we'll understand whenever we get to glory. But the fact that God sent his son. So that wasn't what was best for God. That was what was best for you. And that was best for me, that he sent his son to be our savior, to die on the cross for our sins. And so when we think about the fact that God is love, he does that. Now, let's think about for a second. Whenever you and I are struggling in our life with something that we are having a very difficult time being thankful for, okay? Now, you come up with something in your own mind. Maybe somebody said something to you, and you have bitterness towards that person, or maybe somebody has passed away, or they have some kind of a sickness, or, you know, something that, you know, just you're just really having a hard time being thankful for. Okay? Everybody have something in mind? Okay? Now let's think about that from God's point of view. Okay? Here's the God who is present with us. Right? Every single day. Every single moment of every single day. He knows the suffering that you're going through. He knows how hard it is that you're going through this particular thing. You know, he's right there in your presence. You know, God doesn't, you know, sometimes we, you know, are away from people that are struggling about something, and we don't recognize the agony that they're going through. But, you know, the Lord is right there with us. Not only does he understand being in the presence of somebody who's struggling with something, but he also understands their thoughts and how they miss somebody, or how they're wrestling with this, this issue. All of those kind of things. His knowledge about what is taking, his knowledge about what is taking place is right there. It's intimate of what's taking place. He also, at that very same second, he has the ability to remove, change, or allow to continue this struggle that you're going through. He's omnipotent. He has all of those powers. And sometimes he delivers us from those things. And sometimes he doesn't deliver us. Sometimes we continue to go through these struggles, these trials, these difficulties. Because in his immutability, he does not change. And when we think about his immutability and him not changing, it's the fact that he loves us and he wants what's best for us to take place in our lives. Here's a way I would illustrate this. Having trouble with my thing here. Let me fix that before I start. I'm going to keep fiddling with it. You have children, right? If you don't have a child, think about what you'd do if you had your own. But you have children, right? And your children are beginning to grow up. And you know well that in growing up, children growing up, they have to do what? They have to learn lessons. Right? They have to learn about, you know, what it's like to live in the real adult world. So sometimes you have to discipline them. Okay? Now think about this for a second. All of you who are parents, and I'll use myself as an example, I have given my children spankings as they have grown up, because I believe that the Bible teaches. In fact, I even gave Brett a spanking one time too, and he's not even my kid. But he acts like it sometimes. But anyhow, why do I give my kids a spanking? I didn't get up in the morning and say, you know, I just like to get just to beat the tar out of somebody this morning. You know, that would be a lot of fun. I never looked at it that way. I always looked at it as, you know, I need to do this so that I can help my son, help my daughter to learn a lesson, to learn to control themselves. And all of us that are parents know this, that it is harder to give a spanking than it is to get a spanking. It just broke my heart. I don't want to do this. I love this little guy, and what I want for them to take place is I want them to always be happy, a big smile on their face, and I want everything in their life to just be joyful and just, woo, you know, just awesome. But I know that that's not real life, and so therefore, I have to do what? I have to bring some discipline in their lives so that they could do what? Mature and grow and develop to be individuals. And I remember when my parents would give me spankings, I always thought it was worse for me than it was for them. But once you become an adult, you recognize, no, it's not like that. And we recognize that God He has to take us through places where we grow in our life. God has to take us through places in our life where we develop and we mature. God has to take us through places in our life that are not easy, that are really difficult, so that we can do what? So that we can be effective for Him, so we can do the things that God wants us to do. And, you know, in the world that we live in, you know, if there's any difficulty, hardship, pain, suffering, you know, anything like this, we say, well, you know, obviously it must not be in the will of God, because, you know, God's going to allow everything to be ripe, red, and rosy, and, you know, I've got born again, and glory to God, I'm going to have wealth, with health, and happiness, you know, forever and ever, and that's a bunch of garbage. That's not true. God takes us and allows us to go through, you know, struggles and difficulties and hard times so that we can be more like our Savior, so that we can grow in our spiritual life, so that we can mature in our walk with God. And that's why, you know, sometimes people say, well, you know, I can't be thankful for all things that God does. I can't be thankful always for the things that God does, because, you know, sometimes I go through hard times. Well, we as Christians, we can stop and say, whoa, wait a minute. God is right here with me. He hasn't left me. He hasn't forsaken me. God knows the struggle that I'm going through. God has the power to change this at any time, but I know that God is not a God who is going to change, and God loves me, and what He wants for me is my very best. He wants my maturity. He wants my development. He wants me to grow in my relationship with Him. And I know that based upon the promises of the Word of God, when God is done with me here on this earth, what's He going to do? He's going to take me home to glory. I'm going to go to heaven. I'm going to be with Him whenever I'm done here on this earth. But up until that point in time, God is growing me. God is maturing me. And so when we look at these things that go on in our life, you know, this hard thing, whatever it is that you're facing, you can look at that and you can say, God is doing something in my life based upon this. Now, there's sins that take place and people do us wrong, and, you know, those kind of things take place because we live in a world that is full of sin and difficulties and struggles and trial. But we can look back, we can look at a situation, and we can say, God, I thank you for this because I know this. Okay? Last thing we want to look at. We know that all things work together for good. Now, notice it doesn't say all things are good, right? Because everything is not good. You know, we have trials, we have struggles, we have, you know, people do us wrong, you know, we get robbed, we get broken into, we get shot, you know, all of those kind of things happen. And that's not good. But all things work together. God takes those things that we live in this sinful world, and He matures us, and He shows us His greatness and His power, He shows us His presence, He shows us His care, all of these things, so that we can do what Paul says, so that we can look at, always be thankful. We can be thankful for all things because this is God's will for you and for me. And if you're not a Christian, you have no concept of this. There's no idea of this. But we as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we can look at this and say, you know, God is active. God's at work in my life. And it may not be easy for me. It may not be something that I like. It's not something I'm excited about. It's not something that I would say, boy, this is a trial that I, you know, God, here's five trials. You know, which one do you want me to go through? You know, we never say those kind of things. But God allows us to go through those things. God walks us through those things. God is present with us when we go through those things so that He can mold us, make us, mature us into what, now listen to this, you ready? What He wants us to be, not what we want to be. Because what God wants us to be is so much greater than what we want to be. What God wants us to be is so much greater than what we want to be. Because God wants us to use us. He wants to use us for His glory. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we come to You this morning, we know, Lord, that many of us in this room are going through struggles and trials and difficulties that we would never wish upon another person. But God, I know that based upon what You tell us in Your scriptures, that You are with us each step of the way, that You know the difficulties, the struggles that we're going through, that You have the power, Lord, to change the situation. But we know, God, that You are the unchanging God who wants what's best for us. You love us. You want to mature us in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we know that, we trust that, we believe that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. And we pray, dear God, this morning as we think about the things and the struggles and the trials, that you'd help us, Father, to be people that have a thankful heart because of the blessings that you bestow upon us. And those blessings sometimes come in the way of trials and struggles and difficulties. And sometimes they come as just wonderful things that take place in our lives. And God, help us to be people that are thankful for both. We pray in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen.